The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three in numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin alongside as we are plowing along. We'll eventually get to the New England Patriots, I promise you. This is a team that deserves its proper due. We're going to slam it in 90 seconds.
So that's right.
Wanted to make sure that we had enough time with all of that. That said, we are now questioning some of our bets as Kelly looks over and sees the alt uniform get displayed for the Buffalo Bills. That's a loss. That's one loss on there for sure.
Yeah, those are awful.
They can't win in that uniform.
They're like the old, like, they remind me of the old, like, gray Boise State ones. I say old.
Except
Boise State might be running these out every week.
And it might be the actual uniform because the helmet doesn't look like a Bills uniform, Bills helmet at all.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's bad.
That's a loss.
Boise State, before you get offended, I was going to say it's like yours, but somehow worse. And like those were like 20 years ago.
If you imagine kind of like the most try hard uniform that we were going through with the Color Rush era, that's kind of where that one falls.
But it's like swing and a miss. It's like the Color Rush swing and miss.
Yeah. Some of the Color Rushes were fine.
Anytime the Seahawks have to wear an alternate uniform of any kind, I'm here for.
Yeah. Some of them were fine.
Including their throwbacks.
That one not fine. And yes, there we go. So by the end of today, every team will have reported to training camp. So
let's see. I can catch us up on a couple things too. We had brought up A-Chan last segment. Baker Mayfield, as you described, he's there. He's going to be, it sounds like reports are he will be playing under his original deal heading into this season.
Yeah, he said he's cutting off talks. I mean, of course, we've seen this happen where guys will still talk, but like he says he's cutting off talks. And so we'll see. We'll see. Who knows? Maybe they come with an aggressive offer, or maybe they're like, you know what? Let's see what he's got left in the tank, and then we'll decide whether we want to make him an aggressive offer.
That's right. Man, is it very rare? I don't really like it. It's very rare that Darnell and Larry can throw me off with a graphic in preview. But when you spend hours handicapping a golf tournament, and then you see an odds board go up in the preview screen that they're not the same odds that I bet into. I can tell you that, Matt.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
I don't know. Something's getting screwed up, clearly. I don't know.
Interesting stuff.
Hideki Matsuyama, not your favorite this week at the Rocket Classic if you're betting it.
Yeah, definitely not your favorite. Now, we'll get to that a little bit. Yeah, we'll get to that a little bit later as well. But, okay, Kelly, let's give them their time. And we do want to talk about this New England Patriots team that I'm not going to say came out of nowhere, because I think we all saw what Drake May was capable of. Mm-hmm. I think we all saw the mobility, the arm strength that maybe is a little bit better than people thought. The decision-making skills certainly improved a ton in year number two. And now you bring in a real number one wide receiver for him. You bring in a real number two wide receiver for him. You kind of wonder what else they're going to be able to do. It seems like Kayshon Booty is going to be the odd man out. So do you trade him for something as well? Maybe it's just more of kind of a luxury piece that you want to some depth stuff, or maybe it'll just be for picks. But you look at this offensive line is pretty solid. Obviously the running back situation is good. And then on the defensive side, you have one of the better corners all in all of the NFL. Got a couple defensive linemen that can get it done. Your safety tandem is at least in the conversation for one of the best safety tandems in the NFL. There's really not a lot here to poke holes in when it does come to this Patriots team.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, I think they're one of the more fascinating teams this season, because you do have, I think you have a lot of confidence in a lot of good players on their roster. We saw what they did last year, get all the way to a Super Bowl. It's just, look, a lot was made of the schedule last year, and I can tell you, 12th easiest strength of schedule right now by win total set up. So like, hey, it's not like it's really hard, but it's harder than it was a year ago. And that's for sure. So I don't know how you quantify that heading into the season, but it's something that you need to keep in mind.
Yeah, it's a team in which I think that it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't type deal, because when you come off of a 14-3 season, especially whenever you're going to get the first place schedule and all the stuff like that, Kelly, like you're going, there's nowhere to go but down. They're not going to be 15-2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to go 16-1. So there's nowhere to go but down. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad season. If you look right now, if you're following along, I mean, right out of the gate, you play the Seahawks. Then week three, no pushover in the Jags. Week four, the Bills. You get a little bit of a soft spot, Raiders, Jets, but then right back on the road at the Bears, the Packers, at the Lions. This is all before their bye week there in week number 11. I do think that there's a world that exists where they could be playing good football and still have several losses by the time that the bye rolls around.
Yeah, and this is kind of one of those calendar note teams for me, Matt. I do think it's after that Bills game week four, if you wanted to jump in on an over win total or division price, maybe heading into that Bills game or out of that Bills game, right? Depending on how you want to handle it. I think this is one of those schedules that you could make that note on. You know, Drew and Andy, I forget which one of them said, but I was listening to them the other day and they said this about the schedule. I think this is a team that could finish with 10 or 11 wins and be a better team than what the Patriots team was a year ago. That's where I think it's going to just get tough talking the Patriots this year.
Yeah, because it's not only is the competition tougher, right? But let's be for real. All these teams are taking advantage of every single thing at their disposal. We have a full year of film on Drake May. If you don't think these defensive coordinators have dissected every little frame, every little thing he does to try and figure out weaknesses, to try to figure out tendencies, try to figure out where they can exploit what he likes to do and where he likes to go. These are all, it's not only is it tougher just from a scheduling standpoint, Kelly, but it's also just tougher because now they're the team that teams are going after. This is a team that, like, they're no longer kind of looking past. This is like, oh no, this is the Patriots. We have to really, really, really prepare for this team. And like I said, I believe that some of the focus in the offseason has been trying to dissect Drake May and figure out how they can try to break him down and bring him down a peg.
Yeah, you've got to be in from the Patriots side of things. Like, I feel like it's been undercovered and not talked about it enough, Matt. Like, you go out after you make a run of the Super Bowl last year, you've got a quarterback on a rookie deal. We talk about this all the time, especially on this show with Gil, right? It is, how do you win a Super Bowl? Where do you need a quarterback at in his career? Usually Hall of Fame level quarterback or a guy on a rookie deal. You know, that's what we're talking about with how you win Super Bowls. You got the rookie deal going on here. So it's go out and spend, right? You bring in AJ Brown, which you talked about the downfield threat that May is, second in pass completions at 20 plus yards last year, third in his PFF pass grade on deep balls last year. AJ Brown, I mean, all we talked about was how dysfunctional the Eagles offense was last year, still tied for ninth among receivers and deep targets last year. All this over in the VSiN NFL betting guide. Look, we know he's one of the best deep threats in the NFL.
I was going to say, make no mistake, the dude can still play. He's still a baller.
I think it's going to matter big time. I think this does elevate this offense to another level. I think this is a very tough team for me to figure out of where they fall in the AFC, because I think there is a chance that they are one of the best teams in the conference. I have a bet on the Bills to win the division. I think that there's still going to be a little bit of growing pains as they put this all together here, but I could easily be dead wrong. And AJ Brown, I think, is an interesting long shot in offensive player of the year. He's like 40-1 in that market. Like, you're telling me one of the best deep ball throwers in the NFL is getting a perfect deep ball target like that? Like, we're going to talk about more about that award tomorrow. There's a lot of talent at the top of the odds board in offensive player of the year. I think he's one of the longer shots that's live, though.
I don't think that there is a division that I am more confident in who the top two teams are going to be than this division. Like,
Me neither.
As much as we said the Jets might be frisky on offense or something, that doesn't mean win the division frisky.
Correct.
It would take a total collapse out of both of these teams, both being the Bills and the Patriots, for one of those other two teams to sneak up and win this division. Like, I am as confident as you could possibly be that it will be the Bills or the Patriots coming out of this division.
I'm guessing next most would be Ravens Bengals for you, but you have those two below Bills Patriots.
Yeah. And I mean, and even in that one though, right, it's not like the craziest thing in the world. It's not, it is not the craziest thing in the world to think that the Steelers have some sort of,
God, I can't do it again.
No. But I mean, I'll put it this way. You would be less surprised if the Steelers won the AFC North than if the Jets or the Dolphins won this division.
We're not even going that far. We're just saying 1-2 just to finish second.
Yeah. I mean, to even finish, you would not think it was crazy if the Steelers were second in this division.
No. But I mean, it's, unfortunately, we've seen that story before, right? It's Joe Burrow gets hurt, right? There's something that happens with Lamar or whatever with the Ravens. And the Steelers
sneak in. As far as the Patriots go, though, at plus 125, it's still Josh Allen. It's still the Bills. It's still whatever. You got to come in and, you know, knock the king off his throne. For me, I would need 175, I think, before I would be really interested in the Patriots. But
it's not just he's too good. Everybody knows I'm a big Josh Allen fan, but it's the he's too good, Matt. And the biggest thing with Josh Allen, he doesn't miss time. That's the biggest thing. He doesn't get hurt. He doesn't miss significant games. Like that's the toughest thing about him. And I think betting one of these other teams in the division or, you know, just against the Bills, it's tough.
Guys, 20 leagues, one mission, Just Win Bets, baby, your premier source for Daily's fantasy sports picks. If you're watching along, you can click on that QR code right now. Shout out to COVID. Bring back all the QR codes. Everyone loves QR codes now. We hated them. Now we love them again. You can thank COVID for that.
I just remember them on CDs back in the day, like 1998.
It's one of those things like shout out to COVID. That's the thing that lived on from COVID is QR codes. Or you can visit justwinbetsbaby.com if you are sitting in front of a computer right now or your phone. And you can go in and you start betting smarter with Just Win Bets, baby. The name says it all. So, Kelly Pidlin, to put a bow on this division, you already have bet the Bills. You still do like the Pats. We think the Jets could be at least feisty on the offensive side when you look at Cooper and you look at Wilson and you look at, hey, Geno's not dead yet and all of that. And then we do think that the obvious fourth team is the Dolphins.
Dolphins very live for worst record in the NFL.
Yes, I'm with you on every single one of those. Absolutely.
Honestly, if you bet Cardinals and Dolphins in that market, I think you're making money.
When we come back, Paul Sporer from over at Fangraphs, all things baseball.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Switch to some baseball talk here on a numbers game as we had an interesting conversation with Adam Burke yesterday, our fine managing editor over at VSiN.com.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out VSiN.com. Go in, give Adam and team a couple of clicks. We like the clicks. Page views.
You can give him a follow too.
Yeah.
Follow. At Skating Tripods.
Yeah. Go in. Couple clicks.
At Betting on
he'd
X.
Probably, he'd, Zach probably, Cohen. He'd probably prefer the clicks. But you
probably
know,
prefer the clicks.
Probably prefer the clicks. So click around a little bit.
Buy something from the VSiN store.
Yeah. Page views are great. But it did, as we talked through some stuff though, lead me to go ahead and throw in a bet in the account. And
we're, oh, did you?
Yeah. And so we were.
MLB Awards?
Yeah. We were talking about Major League Baseball and MVP. And through us talking about all of that.
Holy Shohei.
Yeah.
It's plummeted even more.
The odds for Shohei Ohtani from yesterday are cut in half.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys that we talked about that I have in the account at 100-1 has now fallen to 75-1 in one CJ Abrams that we had brought up yesterday. And you can still find Jacob Mizorowski out there at 100-1. And Kelly, the reason that we were talking about that and the reason that we said that this could be a thing is mainly because Shohei is not going to pitch. We don't know for how long, maybe not until the postseason.
Right.
And if you look underneath the hood, he's not hitting all that well.
Yeah.
He's not hitting all that well.
Did Miz pitch yesterday?
No. 2 days ago.
I'm kind of laughing that we brought him up and we're getting excited about possibly Miz in MVP market at 80-1 and he's 150-1 at DraftKings today.
Oh, well, I guess
they respect
just balancing
our opinion so much.
Well, it was 100. I guess they're just balancing the book a little bit because, like, you see that this.
Yeah, so
Pete Crow Armstrong.
Even money.
Is even money now, where yesterday plus 165. James Wood up a little bit from 28 to 30. But then Schwarber falls to 65. Like this was an active market.
You know,
yesterday.
This is moving right now too.
Yeah.
I just saw James Wood flash from 22 to 30-1.
Yeah. So this is what I'm saying. These are these are people coming in and getting after this. I'm wondering if there's some underground Shohei news out there. I wonder if Shohei might be heading to the IL that we don't know about.
Okay.
You know?
Yep.
Look, everything's flashing. I'm watching screens flash as we speak.
Yeah, Ketel Marte. Yeah.
No. We'll see if our guest has a thought on any of this as Paul Sporer joins us here from Fangraphs. Paul, how you doing, buddy?
I'm well. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
So we're looking at this National League MVP market. We were just having a discussion kind of free-flowing yesterday on the desk. We're like, you know, this seems like Shohei is pretty vulnerable in this market right now because he's not going to pitch. He's not hitting that well. And you have these other guys that are playing out of their minds. And now, literally since yesterday, the odds on the MVP is cut in half. Pete Kerr Armstrong now falls down to even money. Some of these other guys, I have CJ Abrams from yesterday at 100 in my account, is now to 75. We're watching guys get bet as we speak. The screen continues to flash left and right. So I guess everyone's starting to think the same way I am, or that me and Kelly and Adam Burke were yesterday, that maybe this is not just we just stick the crown on the guy every single year, especially if he's not going to be on the mound pitching.
Right, and I think that's the big thing, is that if Shohei's not playing, then he's not going to get it, right? I am of the mind generally that a healthy Shohei season, when he's doing both, is the MVP pretty easily. But this is why I don't jump on the favorites early either, because it feels like you can only come down from there. And when he was at the perch, when he's going to win the Cy and the MVP, remember, he was so gung-ho about getting a Cy because he was pitching so well. And I'm very pro Shohei here, so I was fine with him pitching and all that. But things happen over the course of 6 months, and now he's done pitching. Is anything going to be affected with this leg, with his hitting? Are they going to start taking some time there? Because that's the thing with the Dodgers, is they can always slow play it as much as they want, or as much as he'll allow. Let's be clear. Mm-hmm. He doesn't necessarily operate 100% by their rules. He's got to kind of co-sign it. But I think if this leg's bothering him a whole bunch, they're going to say, hey, can we get you 3-4 days a week type of vibe? Mm-hmm. Can we slow you down a little? Which opens the door completely. PCA playing out of his mind. Abrams, those two are playing probably the best right now. James Wood would have gotten a bunch of love, you know, if we caught him at the right peak. He's still been amazing. And then you got even longer shots, like a Bryce Turang, who brings the defensive piece with it. And Oda Lopez in Miami, who also brings a defensive piece with it. I think it's wide open. And what if somebody like an Ellie goes crazy in the second half and brings Cincinnati, pulls them back into this mix type of vibe? It's so much unwritten right now. Truly couldn't pay me to do a Shohei bet unless he was somehow way down the board. Otherwise, I'm open on a bunch of these guys.
Yeah, Paul, I'll just run through them for you right now. I mean, it's Ohtani -125, Pete Kroll Armstrong's even money, and then we drop down to James Wood at 35-1, Schwarber 65, Abrams 90, Bryce Harper 120, everybody else 150-1 or longer. So any of those names or numbers jump out to you, or is it one of the other guys you just mentioned?
No, I like both of the Nats. I'm really curious to see what they do. This trade that they made with Curtis Meade for Connelly Early is an excellent deal. Everyone loves it for them, but it is more of a long-term deal. Early's hurt right now. They don't know what they're going to get out of him, so that doesn't necessarily help this year unless he comes back. Are they going to be making moves to kind of get themselves better? I've always been of the mind that the team performance should not influence an individual award, because it's an individual award, but we know that that's not true. So we can't just cover our eyes and pretend that some voters don't go off of that. So if Washington doesn't stay in the mix enough, I do think that hurts both those guys. That's where you start elevating somebody like a Schwarber, because they're going to be in the mix. PCA playing his best ball right now, but we know he can go dangerously cold too. That's why I generally move further down the board here. The real long shot is Corbin Carroll for me. I think he has all the MVP pedigree that you need. I really think he just needs that team context, again, because you got to go with where the voters are going. I don't necessarily subscribe to this, and I want to divorce myself from it, but we know voters go that way. If Arizona gets all the way back into this, I'm very curious to see what they do in this next week, and they make a playoff push. I think Carroll could be the guy that really brings them forward there and then starts to get the MVP attention with the floor kind of clearing up. I'm not sure PCA is going to play at this high level the rest of the year, but he has made major improvements. I hated his swing and miss last year to go with no walks. He's tripled his walk rate, so now his swing and miss is a lot more palatable. I would say PCA is my favorite right now, with Shohei just behind, but then a wide open floor after that.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. And you bring up Ellie, like, even missing some time due to injury, Paul, I mean, he's still a very real 30-30 candidate here. And like you said, if for whatever reason, the Reds could could climb into contention again, and he would be a big part of it. Obviously, at 150-1, you have made worse bets. I'll put it that way.
That's exactly it, right? And because it is so open right now, you can get a little cute down the board. And like you said, this is not going to be the worst bet you make. I think everyone's a live dog because of the Shohei news constantly getting worse right now. And if you don't believe that PCA is going to be this guy the rest of the year, if you do, then sure, go with him. I'm a little bit more skeptical that he'll stay at this height.
Yeah, I mean, we saw him collapse the second half last year, right? We'll see. Obviously, you're a Detroit guy, a very pivotal week for them. The loss yesterday certainly doesn't help the, hey, we're going to be buyers or we're going to keep Scooble thing. So what, when it's all said and done, are we talking about Tarik Skubal being on a different team? Or do you think that this Detroit team is sitting in a room right now going, I'm not scared of any of these teams above us. Like we cannot sell right now.
They shouldn't be scared. They do. They are the best team in that group. I say that without bias of homerism. You know, I think my credentials of being critical on the Tigers have been shown on this show over the years. But you go to the easiest number, the run differential. They're the only team with a positive one in that collective. Seattle's actually down. They're at +8, but plus 25 for the Tigers. The thing of it is, though, you can't drop two to the Royals by one run. I know it's divisional. Mm-hmm. I know those are close games. Those are coin flips. That's devastating. And then losing yesterday, it's now three in a row. And I think when they come out of this series, if they don't win the game today and they lose that series to Baltimore, I think that starts to be it. This team, this front office is too smart to not realize that they could trade Skubal, not kill their chances. Let's just say they lose both these to Baltimore. They get swept. They trade Skubal, they get something back from somebody that's going to go right into the team. They're not getting 18-year-olds from this deal because they want to be right back at it next year. They might be better the rest of the way. So they did it before. Now, Jack Flaherty is not Tarik Skubal, even the great Flaherty that he was when he went to the Dodgers. But it's a similar vibe that they would trade Skubal. That would suck in the clubhouse, but you got to realize where you're at right now. And I think dropping two in a row to KC by one run, and if they lose this series to Baltimore, if they come back and win these next two, I'm all in on them pushing. But if they lose these two, that's a huge contributor that they're contender that they're facing. They would have to start to look to trade them because you can get so much for this rental, and then you can make, you know, you can lie about trying to re-sign him next year because we know they're not going.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up, Paul, because, I mean, I've actually said that to a couple of other people where it's like, I think they can get rid of Skubal and still maybe win this division. I mean, they
100%.
They do have Jackson Jobe coming back. I mean, like, you know, and pitching well in his rehab start. So it's kind of like, you know, he's not Tarik Skubal. But, you know, I mean,
Mel would have to be Skubal. Fromber would have to be better. Yeah. Jobe, even as like a swingman, would be huge if they can help him out of the bullpen. But I agree with you. They don't have to keep him as the only way to contend. I love Skubal. I would love for him to stay. But if they don't win a few games this week, they got to trade him. They really do.
He's Paul Sporer. Find his great work over at Fangraphs, at Sporer, over on the Twitter machine as well. Paul, appreciate the time as always, buddy.
Great talking with y'all. Take care.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers Game here on VSiN. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin here. As Paul Sporer kind of, he did say what I was alluding to is today's game might actually make the decision for the Tigers.
It's crazy, man. We talk about this whole long baseball season, and we're going to talk about that today. And I want to revisit these MVP odds because this is without any significant news on Shohei Ohtani, right? Yes. This is just that we are all further becoming more and more under the belief that he's not going to be pitching the rest of the season.
It seems like that is what the market has decided.
Because the market is moving this morning. If you are involved in MVP in the National League, maybe be aware. So this is a little bit how this works. Behind the scenes here at VSiN, right? We get all of these odds that are updated every morning before we start shows. So before By the Books, this morning with Dave and Jensen, these all get reformatted and they go up into our graphics. And yeah, we will update these through the day as they move. But when we're early in the morning, you don't often see movement like this. So at the beginning of By the Books here, Shohei Ohtani was -210 over at DraftKings. Pete Crow Armstrong plus 170, James Wood out at 22-1. That's why you and I were a little confused watching these blink all over the place, because right now it's Shohei minus 125, PCA even money, and then it's James Wood all the way down to 35-1, actually, is where that next drop comes in.
Yeah, I'm looking here. So over at FanDuel, minus 130 Shohei, even money PCA, James Wood down to 25.
Well, we saw him. He's been maybe the most interesting one moving here, because he's, when I first checked in on this a couple segments ago, he was 22-1. I saw him jump to 30 and then 35 over at DraftKings.
Schwarber at 40 at FanDuel.
I was going to ask about Schwarber. So, you don't think Schwarber, he's more alive than the rest of the guys in the triple digits?
I guess the only thing that, so Abrams and Carroll bring the full package to the table, right? They hit for average, they steal bases, they play defense, you know what I'm saying? Like, so the problem with Schwarber is, like, you know, he's a DH. Can you give an MVP to a DH?
Right.
Which I think is going to be a hang up for a lot of people, would be my guess. Shohei gets the benefit of the doubt because he pitches as well. But since he's not pitching, this is what we're kind of seeing in front of our face right now, which is people deciding that, okay, maybe not, you know, maybe not on him.
Do you think that DH thing's holding him back, like, a lot? I mean, he was runner up last year, right? Yeah, he was behind Otani.
I'm looking now. I'm going to see what it looks like over on
And yes, Shohei won unanimously last year, but, like, okay, if we were talking about what does an NL MVP situation look like without Shohei Otani, right? Well, we have evidence last year that that was the second guy.
So if you want to get in on PCA because you think there might be something happening behind the scenes here, he is still plus 115 at MGM. So you can at least get a little bit of plus money on him there. But James Wood has taken a ton of money over there, I guess, because he is 22-1.
Wow.
There. Okay. Abrams is still at 100 there, as is Mizorowski. Elly De La Cruz, you can get at 150. We see Harper at 120 over at DraftKings, but 150 at MGM. So again, if you want to look at any of these long shots, just do the shop around thing.
Right, yeah.
Because it seems like we have some balancing going on right now in this, which I don't know. We never know what's going on behind the scenes. It seems like somebody has at least floated the idea that maybe Shohei's going to like land on the IL for 10 days just to try and get this knee better or something, because there would be no reason, because PCA didn't have a big game last night.
Right.
He did not. The big game was from Horner and from Bregman. Like, PCA did not have a big game last night. Yet he is taking a ton of money here in this market today. So just trying to read the tea leaves, right? Which it seems like maybe there could be an IL stint coming here or something like that to kind of get that knee correct for Shohei, and people are trying to scramble or something.
Yeah, I think so. It's interesting to see this type of movement at this time of day, not off of any news and any big time performance last night.
Yeah, because this is And again, like I said, I put in an Abrams, which you can still get at 100 at MGM, not 100 available at the other places. But you can get bigger numbers on Mizorowski, which he's still at 100 at MGM. So again, it's just interesting how this is all playing out. But you heard Paul, Elly De La Cruz, Corbin Carroll. These are dudes that hit homers, steal bases, knock in runs, score runs, like kind of the whole nine yards. And they are two teams that more on the fringe for the Diamondbacks than for the Reds, but they are two teams that are on the fringe of the playoffs. And if for whatever reason they were able to make the playoffs this year, both of those guys would have a big role in getting those teams in the playoffs.
Yeah. I'm just kind of sitting over here laughing a little bit that we're talking about a 500 Nationals team, third in the NL East. And there's two guys we're talking about on the MVP odds board here.
Yeah. And it's just, but it's, that's kind of where we're at. I mean, again, we're just trying to do this on the fly,
right? Yeah.
But it's odd because again, it was not PCA that went 4-for-5 last night with a home run. It was Bregman and it was Nico Horner. It was not PCA. He didn't have the big game yet. He took a flood of money this morning.
That's a big move. That's a big move. It's interesting.
So, well, you know, we're
keeping an eye on
again.
It.
Yeah. Same. Just keep an eye. Who knows? We're not saying anything's definitely going to happen or anything. We're just We're just trying to help you out. We're trying to help you out as well if you want to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. The offer is ending soon, Kelly.
That's right. Get over there now, VSiN.com.
$175 now to the end of the Super Bowl. So not only do you get all the stuff that we do over there on a daily basis, which, you know, I think VSiN.com can help out a lot of people just from the ancillary sport aspect, because you find the golf stuff and the tennis stuff and you find the WNBA stuff and you find the soccer stuff and all the things like that. I mean, it's the sports you're probably not handicapping on a day in, day out basis, where you can find the most value and stuff over there with all of that. So that's at VSiN.com. Plus you get all these betting guides. We said the NFL guide's already out. We're coming out with a college guide next week, and then we're going to do an update to the NFL guide as well. And of course, if it's now through the end of the Super Bowl, we know college basketball season will start, NBA will start, NHL will start. There'll be guides for all of those as well. So you get all of those heading into the season as well. $175 now until the Super Bowl, VSiN.com/subscribe. How bad do you want to start putting in some long shot? You just want to have an awesome MVP portfolio of just of triple digit tickets, because I'll tell you right now, I'm going to add Ellie Dela Cruz, and I might end up adding Corbin Carroll as well. Listen, if PCA plays like he is, like we said, yeah, he's going to win. But PCA had an unbelievable first half last year, right, and completely collapsed in the second half.
Sure.
Last year. Not to say it's going to happen again. But I'm betting triple digit tickets. So you're not investing a ton of money or anything.
Yeah.
You're betting triple digit tickets. You're putting, you know, $100 bets in and then just praying.
I'm kind of intrigued by the Schwarberness.
We'll do it.
But so what does Kyle Schwarber have to do?
Well, he's got to hit 60.
He's got to hit more than he did last year.
Got to hit 60. He's got to hit 60.
I think he's got to hit more. I mean, the only guy that was in his way last year was Shohei Ohtani.
He's got to hit 60. So that there's your path with Schwarber, which, by the way, he's 50. He's 50 at MGM. I don't know what he was whenever we were looking at
it. It was like 65.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you can still get a better number.
I guess just from the name value alone, I was a little surprised he was that far out. I mean, everybody knows about the home runs. Knows the Phillies are playing well.
Yeah. I mean, this is getting interesting for sure. And this is just people getting off of the Shohei train, realizing that he's not hitting very well or something. But it also could just be, hey, this guy's not going to pitch. And if they want him to be good for the playoffs, they might go ahead and put him on the IL. So maybe that's what's going on there as well.
Let me, real quick, I'm just going to rapid fire through the names listed on the DraftKings odds board. Give me just like your two word thought on them, whether you'd consider them or not at price. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
James Wood, 35-1.
I like his teammate better.
CJ Abrams 90-1.
Like, you would better at the price. Bet. Better at the price available. Okay. Yes.
Schwarber 65-1.
I think we just talked about. We just gave his case. Mm-hmm. 60 bombs. He's got to hit 60 bombs.
Bryce Harper 120-1.
I think it will be hard for him to. I think he's going to be overshadowed by
Schwarber. Yeah, I think so too. Okay, Jackson Churchill 150-1.
The Brewers could end up with the best record in all of baseball. They're only a game behind the Dodgers.
Which matters.
Yes.
Paul brought that up too. Like, it matters when we go back and look at who wins these awards.
Yes. Like, they are only a game behind the Dodgers.
Okay, but that's the biggest case you could make for them?
Yeah.
I love this. Freddie Freeman, 150-1.
No, because of... No.
Okay, no. Ellie De La Cruz, 150-1.
Absolutely. I told you, I'm going to add it. Yeah.
Corbin Carroll, 150-1.
I'm going to add him as well.
Mizorowski, 150-1.
Already have him at 100. Have it a worse number.
Half the number.
Yeah, I already have him at a worse number.
All right, Jordan Walker, 200-1.
He has really, really cooled off since the All-Star break.
Lopez, 200-1. Wanted to get to him because Paul brought him up.
Paul brought him up. I don't get it, but if Paul does, then, you know, there's got to be something there.
Two more. Matt Olson, 200-1.
He's got it. No, he's just a bomb. He's just a home run.
Marte, 200-1. Does he get overshadowed?
Overshadowed.
Yeah.
Boom.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Taking this thing home here on a Tuesday. Matt Brown in for Gil. Hedley Bidlin here.
Shout out to the crew.
Yeah,
Cruz. Jared in for Danny. We got Danny out too. Rest of the crew's here.
By the way,
Chris Foster doing a great job with the mics. I don't know how many times. You and I have talked coming back from break so many times. He's doing a great job with the mics. Larry on the graphics. Darnell.
Danny.
Directing.
Danny posting on the old IG, bragging about his trip.
I was dying laughing because we were on the air on Friday doing the show, and he had flown out early Friday morning, so I think he was listening to the show. He was so excited to get to Montana, he tweeted into the show, and he just tweeted in a picture of the tarmac. I was like, it's like one of the most beautiful states in the union. We're going to go with the tarmac picture? Well,
he stepped up the game.
He did.
He did that. So, yeah, good on him up there in Montana. We got Moneyline Hack coming in here talking about the Raiders, you know, our Raiders discussion, where he says the brutal schedule is the reason to sit him, in my opinion, not to start him. No sense throwing a young quarterback into games you're losing anyway and denting his confidence early. Let the slate soften and then hand him the keys. I mean, that's kind of my thought process here. More my thought process is, if you were going to start him from the get-go, then what did you bring in Kirk Cousins for?
Right. Yeah, no, I get it. I think the Raiders are telling you they're on that sort of timeline.
Yeah. If you're going to start him from, if you're going to, because what you can't go Mendoza, then to Cousins. Because then you're like, hey, kid, you weren't good enough. We're going to this.
Right. You can't do that because it means you're not going back to Mendoza this season.
But you can easily go Cousins to Mendoza. So like that's, you know, it's like, hey, we're using you as the bridge and whatever and all of that. So again, I could be wrong. This organization has shocked me on multiple occasions. So I could be wrong. It could be.
But it's also for that same reasoning. Like, what are we doing with the Vikings? BS on any sort of QB competition, I think, because they're really standing by this whole, it's a competition, but I think same sort of thing, right? I don't think you could go, we're committed to J.J. McCarthy and then pull the ripcord a few weeks in.
There's one of those things for me, if, and you know, Kelly, I'm old enough to remember. You remember rookie quarterbacks didn't used to play. It was the thought was, is that you would draft a quarterback and he would stand on the sidelines and your learning process wasn't necessarily getting out there onto the field and getting your butt kicked. It was holding the clipboard, watching the game unfold. And that's how you kind of like came up to speed with all of that. Obviously we got away with that. We got away from that with a couple of different quarterbacks along the way. I don't know though, in this Raiders situation in which it is so blatantly obvious that you're not going to be able to compete in the division, that doesn't make sense. And that doesn't make it the correct route to go.
I think it's well said. And I think we should all probably be, I'm assuming at least it goes that way. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they go to week 13, but I think it goes that way.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got, cause you're right. Why else are you bringing in Kirk Cousins? And then I just think,
cause you could get anybody to be a backup.
Exactly.
You wouldn't go get like a proven name and a guy that actually, honestly, much to my surprise, played pretty well last year, actually, whenever he had to take over for Penix.
I mean, and look, I mean, definitely one of those minds that you would love a young quarterback learning from, right? Oh, by the way, Tom Brady's around too. I think for a gap year, whatever you want to call it for the Raiders. It's like the division's loaded. I think that's how you approach things too. Just Drew said it, and I kind of lean this way these days too, of the quarterback so important, you gotta figure out what you have as soon as humanly possible. So I usually lean a little bit more towards throw them in right away, game one, but that's not what the Raiders have done with this offseason. That's not how they've prepped this team. How they prepped this team is to get Kirk Cousins in.
Like if you guys are just joining us, it is going to be a double header today. So actually baseball gets going early. There is a game 10:40 Pacific. So about 40 minutes after we get off here, it's going to be Ciccione versus Burns. Burns is now out to a -165, 170 even favorite for this Reds team. So again, way out of where I normally bet things. I am playing the Diamondbacks over the Pirates. We talked about that one a little bit earlier, but two other bets that are in my account. I'm going to say that the Tigers are going to have a bigger decision to make because I'm backing them here. -135. That's it. It's out to 145 now. That's about the max. You can find a 140 out there, but that's about as far as I'm going to go. Melton has actually been a revelation for this team. I think they thought he was going to be good. I don't think they thought he was going to be this good. And he's actually stepped up. And over the course of the season, he has a 1.95 ERA that's actually backed up by a sub-3 expected. And it's been even better over his last five starts. Going up against this Baltimore team that can't hit. I know they hit yesterday. They can't hit. It's round ball, round bat. Weird things happen. You got to bet baseball every day. You can't bet just one-offs. You know, you got to bet what actually happens on the reg. And what's on the reg is this Baltimore Orioles team is not any good. So going to back the Tigers here against Dean Kramer, who is not good at pitching the baseball. And then I'm also playing the Astros over the Angels. I thought this one was just weirdly priced, actually, for me. Whenever you look at the pitching matchup, Reed Detmers, who is absolute trash, going up against Peter Lambert, and he's not a household name. But if you dig under the hood of Peter Lambert, he probably is Houston's best pitcher. You look over his last five starts, a sub-3 expected, backed up by a nice, healthy 25% K rate, a sub-9% walk rate. So he's not putting guys on base for free. He's actually limited in hard contact as well. Barrel percentage way down, not getting hit hard. So like them, and that's like a coin toss as far as the odds go right there with that. I understand that the Astros hadn't been lighting things on fire, but certainly a better pitching matchup for them here in this one, and definitely a big win for them as well, just from a up and down the lineup situation. So going to go with them. Three plays for me. 1-2 yesterday, though the one we did get home was at least plus money. So hopefully we'll have better results for this one. And then we added a couple of the MVP, CJ Abrams, The Miz at triple digits. I'm going to add a couple more triple digits as well. I'm going to add Ellie, and I'm going to add Corbin Carroll when I get out of here, if I can find. I'm just got to find the best number, because we don't have all of the books that you guys have. And so I'll have to dig around here in Vegas and try to find the best odds on those guys.
Yeah, man. Okay, I'm bringing it back to this MVP conversation. I'll get through my bets quick and Joe Sheehan's bets quick. We got a great tweet on this, actually. Mm. Okay, NBA win totals I've made over the past few days here. Bulls over 28.5, Pistons under 50.5, Jazz over 35.5. Rockets over 47.5. Brought it up earlier on the show, but did add an NFL future, Jadarian Price, to win Offensive Rookie of the Year at 9-1. Man, as soon as this came out, I kind of had a feeling I'd end up there. Mm. End up there. 9-1, long enough for me. I'm in. Joe Sheehan, best bets. A's under 67.5 wins. So adding to the futures portfolio is Joe Sheehan today. You'll get that at plus 105. Also, A's to have the worst record at plus 850. That game you mentioned coming up here soon, Guardians Reds, he is going under 9. Again, that is the first game today. Marlins team total over 3.5 versus the Phillies today. Lane minus 140. Joe said that was one of his favorite bets of the year. Cubs minus 114 versus the Cardinals. And then Trevor Larnach over a 1.5 total bases plus 109. Okay, Kirk Chorm tweeting into me, Matt. Mm-hmm. At Beer Man Kirk. Love the Twitter handle. Just heard your guys' MVP conversation on air. Shohei versus the field. Field is plus 200 at bet 365. Probably shouldn't have just said the name of the book. That book where you can bet all year round.
Yeah. Wow.
Do you like that field bet? Yes.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're going Shohei versus the field. Not only are you getting the field, but you're getting the field at a good number.
Yeah, it was 2-1.
It's a bad Shohei number.
Yeah. Especially when
I just pulled it up and it's still that.
Yeah. I mean, that is. Yeah, that would be one that I would be looking to get into the account.
Okay, it's down to, it's Ohtani minus 250 currently. The field is plus 190.
Yeah.
That's the bet right there, if you have a shop that has that.
If you're, and you know, if your bankroll allows, obviously. I mean, if you'd rather put in just a few of these triple-digit guys, I understand that as well, right? Yeah. But I mean, because not everybody wants to park money for a 2-1. But if that is within your bankroll, then that is certainly something to look at as well.
Yeah, Kirk, that's a bet I would make. If that was available to me, I'd be right there with you.
So I can tell you right now, I'm adding Corbin Carroll at 175, because the guys out here behind us have Corbin Carroll at 175.
That's not a huge shocker.
So
right, futures, you're always going to find a little bit better there, usually. Yeah,
so there we go. That's in the account at 175.
Good tweets today. James Fessler, I hear he tweeted in, if you like the Bills, calendar reminder for after week 5. Those first 5 games are rough. I hear you. I actually think that was more the case with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you made any of those notes, but I thought that same thing with the Patriots. You could make a case for jumping in on them a little bit into the season as well.
I know people kind of roll their eyes when we say stuff like this, but I mean, it is, honest to goodness, I put in calendar reminders. I really do. Like, I mean, I put in calendar reminders.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look,
yeah.
Football season gets hectic. And if you do it now, and you're not trying to do it on the fly with all the games you're trying to handicap and player props and things and all the stuff like that. Like, they pop up and you go, oh yeah, there so it is.
The best part about it, it's like your cash out options, right? You don't have to. The calendar reminder hits, you can just ignore it.
You can just ignore it.
It might not apply anymore. It often doesn't.
Don't go anywhere, guys. Prop points after us. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson taking over. We'll be back in here tomorrow. Good luck on all your bets.